Okay, we'll go back now. So I tried to play with this and I kept going back and I went backwards instead of forward, I mean. But I kept picking up, I liked the word that Eric had used on cutting edge. And I hated to leave that out. And I hated to leave the word modern out. So I said, for discussion purposes, our vision is to be a cutting edge, inclusive, entrepreneurial focused program. I went back to embraces, that embraces innovation and creates prosperous and independent blind business owners.
Good. That was great. Sounds better than the other one.
Okay. Well, I mean, it was noted that we didn't have these inclusive thing up there. So we got that in. The cutting edge, I think that's in the quote. It's a little different than innovation. I mean, it means you're on the cutting edge and you're out in front on stuff. Eric, you okay with that?
I think it sounds good.
Other agency folks, y'all okay?
Oh, sounds
great.
What's that?
Sounds good.
Okay, y'all said it at the same time.
There's the other guy sitting there.
Now,
Hello.
We're going to now talk.
Hello. It's Art. I think you said hello, Art. Maybe he doesn't.
There's three people up there. Or is it one of them?
There's
two.
There's just, okay. One of us, I guess.
What is it?
Sorry, I had to go to the dentist. She'll be back later.
Okay.
It's the phone number.
All right, so now, Eric, lunch is, you're having it brought in, is that right?
Correct.
What time do we need to, just whenever, are they going to bring it in?
Yeah, they'll bring it in here.
Here, bud, or you going?
Just planning for a working lunch.
Yeah,
okay.
Hopefully there's somewhere right around here.
All right, so now, let's talk about the things that, typically what we do in this, you know, we go through we do the values, which we, you know, the value statements and then we do the strengths and the weaknesses. It's, you know, it's basically a swag, SWOT analysis, which is a swag. So it's a modified version of that, but you know, we're not going to go through that whole process. But I do want to talk about, you know, we know where we want to be. And that's a pretty ambitious plan, a vision to be a cutting edge, inclusive, entrepreneurial focused program that embraces innovation and creates prosperous and independent blind business owners. That's our, you know, that's where we want to be. And so what are the barriers we need to overcome in order to get to this, to achieve this vision? So there's some bullet points that we're going on that we need to, these are things that we need to be thinking about, you know, as we do our strategy.
I personally think there needs to be a mind shift or, you know, I don't know the proper terminology, but what you just read off, which, you know, I consider a pipe dream, I think it's a great aspiration to go for. And I think it would be, you know, the old win-win for everybody. But how do we get there without an administrative mind change? So.
Just administrative? I mean, are we talking about, I mean, we need,
well, I mean,
total mind shift.
Total mind shift, yeah. Both, I mean, both parts.
Okay.
And I guess I say administrative because at the end of the day, the administrative authority guides what can happen or not. So in many, you know, ways, so.
So what are the barriers we have to overcome?
I think just patience, trying to be patient and being able to communicate. I think communication is ideal for trying to, you know.
For if we're saying it's a barrier, if you're talking about lack of communication.
I guess so. And maybe it needs to just be more of a fluid communication, because I know this is a bit for the future, but I mean, we want to make it realistic, right? So I'm trying to figure out realistically what you know would help it make it those things come true.
For now, we got communication, lack of fluid communication is what I wrote down. What are other things we need to overcome?
Public perception, obviously, you know. So,
and what do you mean by that?
People not having confidence in blind entrepreneurs initially, you know, unless they've had experience with the quality of service that blind entrepreneurs provide. I think the general public,
yeah,
you know, has to be led to that conclusion.
There's two things there. You got public perception. The program, the businesses, the vending facilities, but you've also got attitudes toward blindness, which I see as two totally different things. There is some cross, which are they both things that we need to overcome, or are you talking about one versus the other?
Well, I think they're both, but you know, if one is more program,
yeah. Or at this point, we're just coming up with a list, so it doesn't. Yeah. Public perception. Public perception
toward the programming.
Improve the public perception.
Or to say public perception for BEP, and I want to say just for the list, attitude toward blindness. And that doesn't necessarily mean public attitudes toward blindness. I think everybody can work on attitudes toward blindness, including the blind people themselves. You know what? I think we've got, and I'm not speaking pointing fingers here at anybody. We do have a real issue with blind people who have negative images of blind people. And so they need to change their attitude about their own blindness. So I wonder, for this conversation, I'm just going to say attitudes toward blindness, which would be public, the agency, the vendors. Okay, what else?
We're supposed to be future looking, so we shouldn't look at the past as an example or something to get stuck on.
I do a presentation called 10 Characteristics of a Highly Effective BEP. And that's one of the things that I really stress when I do that, that an effective BEP is focused on the future. And I went into a state, and just to update, the dates don't matter, but I went into a state and I was doing an evaluation, helping the state do some stuff, and interviewing one of the vendors. And the vendor says, I know what you're trying to do. you do, what am I trying to do? He said, you're trying to make us do like they did over in this other state. And he said, I don't like it. And I said, what did they do? He told me what they had done. And I said, wow. I said, you know, I know the director there real well. I said, I've not heard anything about this. He said, yeah, they did it. So I immediately walked out of there, called the director. And, you know, the director says, yeah, I said, he's right. I said, that was 1998. It is literally at the time it was about 15 years earlier, and they were still, you know, because he said they'd done this in this program, you know, they'd done all this stuff in that program, and he was so focused on what had happened 15 years ago that he was just really, really, you know, and you know, that's probably the number one barrier that I run into when we go out in the States is people who are, you know, just so focused on the past and can't get by. And, you know, that's one of the things about this strategic planning initiative. And it's clearly one of the barriers and one of the biggest barriers that I face. And we have to address the past to get to the future. I realize that. I'm not saying we ignore the past, but we can't dwell on the past. We got to learn from the past, but be focused on the future. So that's a really good one. What else somebody got?
What about the folks on the call? You got anything to add?
I will say, like, Trevor, this is Trevor. It is nice to, and I've seen it more and more recently. I know for a while, inclusion was a thing that many were talking about, and being up to date with everything going on in the program. I appreciate the emails we get every week. I know it doesn't always answer a question, but I do appreciate that it has been more kind of on Eric's radar to update us on what's going on and what's happening. And if there is a question, it's being asked, but, you know, I do appreciate that aspect of it. So I do feel like it's been more inclusive than it used to be, but that's always a forward thinking goal. More inclusive.
I can think of many more. So I know you guys got to be thinking of it too. So, give me some more barriers we need to think about.
Well, money, I mean, financial, you know.
Financial resources has to be. I mean, you don't have unlimited money.
What about new facility sites, maybe? New prospects?
I mean, the lack of opportunity, the lack of.
Well, we only got 12 managers, and I don't know if anybody came in, if they'd have a facility to go to. So, yeah, I guess lack of new facilities.
Well,
I'm not sure if that's true. I'm just saying maybe we keep working on more, I guess.
Well, and to tag on to what Steve is saying, government has massively changed in the last 2.5 years, 3 years, just how government does business for people being in buildings.
Yeah.
I'm not sure quite how to.
That's a barrier.
That's actually a good one. So we've got, I want to say, lack of new opportunity. I want to say, just for our list here.
I could say even change because of COVID. You know, that's why it happened. That's why.
You can say either teleworking.
Yeah.
Or you can say post-pandemic shift in workforce.
We're reaching out to more working billion things.
Work patterns.
That's what we're going to talk about.
That's a big pain in my ass. It's uncontrollable, though. I can't control what other people do with their business.
You have everybody open now? Do you have any facilities that are still closed? Is everybody back, at least open?
I think the federal prison is still closed.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they're open for business. They're just not doing vending, so they're still bunkered in. But like one of Steve's facilities, we met with them recently. At the federal level, they're doing a 4 at home, 1 day in the office a week. Yeah. Vastly different than state and local. Yeah.
Well, just like the agency here, Terry, they're 2 days. I think whatever they call it, 3 days in the office, 2 days at home, or whatever. I think. But a lot of the vending facilities that I go to, it's the same, following the same suit. So, it's gotten a lot better, but there's still places that are impactful of that. So,
yeah, there's a bill in Congress to try to get people back to.
I thought COVID was over, but, maybe the culture that COVID created isn't over.
Mm-hmm. One thing I would add to that is varying building population, because some places have staff that never left during COVID and that will always be there. But they might not make up a majority of that population.
Varying building population?
Yeah. And if the building populations don't have a one-size-fits-all, then we shouldn't try to have a one-size-fits-all, like meet each place at their needs.
That's actually a good one. One-size-fits-all approach.
Can we just force it?
Other thoughts?
Well, I don't know how we could fix this, but as far as professionalism and stuff is the ability to get supplies, and a lot of vendors are selling
supply thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder, are you talking about product?
Yeah, like Char and Harold, they order things in and it doesn't come in. Not the next day. Yeah. Mostly soft drinks.
Yeah.
I've seen both. I'm just thought.
Then you could add to that parts and repair time for machines and equipment, right?
That's true.
So, what do you elaborate for me just a bit? Talk about getting parts, or your repair service is slow.
Getting parts, slow repair service. I think it's been a struggle too, that sometimes we'll get repair services that are somewhat subpar. But, sometimes that's not fully in our control. But,
who does your request?
We have, Smitty's, and then Espresso Me Experts does the coffee side.
Smitty's, I think, is the state preferred contract repair person or company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for vending machines.
Ever since the pandemic, and there was a lot of places out there understaffed that people just can't hire people to work with, and that so their services are just can't keep up with things because
there's still trouble hiring people, right? That whole culture of people not even wanting to work,
they don't want to stay in their service. A lot of
Hello?